I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. Gracious God, we know that you are where we are. Help us to tune into you wherever we are at this moment. Quiet our minds, open our hearts. Help us to see clearly and to sense what it is you are trying to say through my words. Give us courage to act upon your truth. Amen. Let me begin by saying there's a spoiler alert here. You see, the answer to the question I pose in today's sermon title, "Is the Lord among us or not?" the very same question posed by the Israelites a few thousand years ago, the answer to that question is a resounding yes. The Lord is among us. Granted, we may not always sense the Lord's presence among us. At times, the Lord God may feel far away or even totally missing in action. But that does not mean the Lord is not within reach. The Israelites learned that eventually, but had to keep being reminded of it over and over again, as we see yet again in today's lesson from the book of Exodus. As Pastor Addie pointed out, we've been on a journey with the Israelites now for several weeks, ever since they fled from Egypt in captivity and have Moses and Aaron as their leaders in the wilderness. I had to sort of smile as today's lesson began because they are in the wilderness of sin. Aptly named, of course, because it is filled with real-life human beings making their share of mistakes. Last week, you may recall, they were fed by God when they were hungry. Well, now they're thirsty, and they're complaining again, but they're not just cranky. Moses is fearing for his very life because they are so riled up. He really fears that they may stone him to death. They are not following the leader, they are blaming the leader. And how quickly they have forgotten that it was just recently God had provided food for them. And if we thumb back a little earlier in the book of Exodus, just back to chapter 15, we actually read that there, when the Israelites were camping in a place called Elim, there were 12 springs of fresh water and 70 palm trees. I think the point is made to point out that there were and will be oases in the desert, but they had forgotten about that fresh water and those palm trees. And they had not at that time asked, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Because when things are going well, we don't ask that question. Is the Lord among us or not is a question we ask when things are not unfolding the way we want them to. I suspect we've asked that question in one way or another over the course of the last 6 months. People ask that question when they are given a frightening diagnosis, when they are dealing in the midst of a hurricane, wildfires, prolonged droughts, or economic downturns. The wilderness can be a scary place, but it's also a place filled with beauty, wonder, and life. And it is also a place where things can be transformed. I think it's no coincidence that at the beginning of today's story, Moses is worrying about being stoned to death. And then stones that can be threatening and life-taking become a stone, a very particular rock, from which water comes and life is given. Interesting also, and maybe you heard this as Pastor Addie read our lesson from Exodus, God was not particularly annoyed with the Israelites' request, because think about it. Water is essential, and asking for water is necessary. In a sense, they were complaining to God and challenging God to be God's best self. And you know what? God always rises to the occasion. Oh yes, we become impatient. We often demand that a seemingly absent God deliver us from the consequences of things we may have set in motion ourselves. And that is what God does here. Very specific, very detailed instructions to Moses. Take the staff with which you struck the Nile. In other words, remember. Remember how I was with you there? I'll be here with you now. This staff, this walking stick, is a humbling reminder to Moses of his God-given power. And the operative word is God-given, because apart from God, Moses was powerless. This simple walking stick was a reminder to Moses and to us that the same God who could turn water into blood in the Nile River and part the Red Sea could indeed bring water from a rock. Not just any rock, but a rock at the foot of Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, the very mountain on which in just a few chapters we will find Moses receiving the Ten Commandments, the law, the rules for living and thriving. Another interesting observation as we read this story on Israel's journey, when we think of manna, which God provided for the Israelites in last week's story, well, that word manna has become synonymous with God's ability to provide for us when we are in need. In other words, the story is defined in a very positive way. We get to today's story when God provides water, and how do we remember it? By the way in which God identified the places where they grumbled and complained. God named those places Massah and Meribah to forever remind us of grumbling and complaining human beings. Not the fact that God had taken water from a rock, but that human beings had been, well, themselves. Now you may be thinking, just as Pastor Addie suggested in her children's message, we're not likely to be getting water from a rock anytime soon. It's not a miracle I'm looking to perform. So how is this passage of Scripture relevant to us? I think you would agree that there are an awful lot of parallels between the wilderness experience of the Israelites and what we are experiencing right now amid a pandemic. While we are certainly counting on this not lasting for 40 years, I can assure you there are days when we all struggle to see even a small glimmer of light at the end of the tunnel. As we wade through the muck and the very real and present danger of COVID-19, as we navigate the many feelings and emotions that accompany living in the midst of unpredictability, hardship, disappointment, loss, fear, anger, depression, despair. For us, the promised land is whatever lies on the other side of this coronavirus. Hopefully, a safe and well-tested vaccine. Hopefully, more and better medical treatment options. Hopefully, the ability to breathe freely and gather openly without fear of becoming infected. But getting there isn't going to be easy. And as we already know, it doesn't happen overnight. Patience, sacrifice, flexibility, and trust need to be things we continue to practice as hard as that is. Trust in wise, thoughtful, compassionate leaders, and of course, trust in God. Oh, and yes, there will be grumbling, and there will be heated disagreements and complaints and blaming along the way. We've heard our share of that. But just as God provided for the Israelites, God will provide for us. It's what God does. And whether we grumble or not, God's Spirit will continue to move and work among us. Our current wilderness aside, I think we would also agree that life is full of wildernesses of every sort. And some of us tend to spend more time in those wildernesses than others. In the middle of nowhere, trying to find our way, perhaps looking for someone to blame, being woefully impatient, lacking both short-term and long-term memory of how God has sustained us in the past and will bring us into the future. How are we to respond? What can we do that will help us on this difficult journey? Well, we start out by remembering how God has been there for us before. And we trust. And we love. Frederick Buechner reminds us, to be commanded to love God at all, let alone in the wilderness, is like being commanded to be well when we are sick, to sing for joy when we are dying of thirst, or to run when our legs are broken. But this is the first and great commandment, even in the wilderness, especially in the wilderness. We are called to love God. We are called to persevere, to endure, recognizing that God does give us strength beyond our imagining. Several centuries ago, in fact, back in the 14th century, Catherine of Siena wrote, "Nothing great is ever achieved without much enduring." Enough already, I know we're thinking, but enduring is a part of the journey, as is fighting. Fighting for what is most important, fighting for what is right. I can't help but share the quote and words of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, one of my favorite quotes from her: "Fight for the things you care about, but do it in a way that others will want to join you." Because you see, this fight that we're in is not just for our own well-being. We persevere, we endure, we fight for what we care about. We keep at it, not for our own benefit necessarily, but for the benefit of the community of which we are a part. The wider community, our faith community, the people God has called us to love and serve. The Lord is among us, of that I am persuaded, providing strength, providing hope. May we claim that strength and use it well so that hope may win the day. Amen.